And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another week and episode of the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for serious hockey fans. I'm Michael Lindenbaum. I'm joined by Bernie Deal, as always. And, of course, you can listen to us on the WBGRSports.com and on the WBGR app, which is available on both iTunes and Google Play. And, of course, you can watch us live on Facebook Live on both the Experience Hockey Talk page and the WBGR Sports Network page at the same time. And we also are using a GoPro to potentially be putting up on YouTube in the short term until we can get more technology to just put up on YouTube right off the bat.
Technology, greatest blessing, biggest curse. And good morning, DMV and Facebook Live and everyone out there. We have a special guest today, Michael. We have a very special guest because we only have 2 days left in the regular season. And then this lovely little holy grail is back up for grabs.
He just touched the trophy. He just touched the cup.
We're cursed. That is a miniature version of the cup, and it will not be touched until the bigger version will be touched.
You want to know something funny? I think that's why the Street Sharks lost the championship game a few weeks ago, is because I was having to touch the trophy here in the studio.
I told you to let me move it for you, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I curse myself. It's okay.
I don't believe in curses. I believe in opportunities, not curses. Let's get on with opportunity knocking for your Washington Capitals.
Yeah, on Sunday, the Washington Capitals took on the Columbus Blue Jackets and defeated them. And then on the 4th, the Capitals took on Toronto and defeated them in a very well-played game against the Maple Leafs, which is now the new prospective first-round matchup for the Washington Capitals. So just to give people an idea, because, you know, a lot of people maybe don't watch Hockey Night in Canada as much as I do. So, you know, if this is the lineup that the Washington Capitals is going to face up against, the Capitals will be going up against Leo Komarov with Nazem Kadri and Connor Brown, James Van Riemsdyk with Tyler Bozak and Mitch Marner, Zach Hyman with Austin Matthews and William Nylander, Matt Martin with Brian Boyle and Kasperi Kapanen, Morgan Riley with Connor Carrick, Jake Gardner with Nikita Zaitsev, Matt Hunwick with Roman Polak, and of course the starting goalie would be Frederick Anderson, not Curtis McElhinney.
You listed six rookies in that lineup.
Yes. Austin Matthews, who would probably win the Calder Trophy. William Nylander, who could also probably win the Calder Trophy.
Mitch Marner could win the Calder Trophy.
I mean, yeah, Kasperi Kapanen.
Kasperi Kapanen came over in the Phil Kessel deal from Pittsburgh, former
Sammy Kapanen's son. William Nylander's Michael Nylander's son.
It's a son's all that. But going back to the, I mean, we talked about on the show last week, Caps needed to play 120 minutes of near flawless hockey to get that President's Trophy locked up. So game sevens all throughout the playoffs would be at Verizon Center, which is the Dungeon of Doom for teams this year. They played 109 minutes of flawless hockey, and it got it done. I mean, playing first 50 minutes in Columbus was beautiful to see. Bobrovsky, I mean, this Columbus has not been the same since the Caps ended their 16-game win streak. I think they're 500. They're on a 5-game losing streak right now. They're limping into the playoffs against a Pittsburgh team that is going to be getting somewhat healthy, not completely healthy, but I think we'll touch on that later in the show.
Yeah. In this game, now, you mentioned Toronto has six rookies.
Mm-hmm.
The only players on this team who have true playoff experience: Matt Martin, Brian Boyle, Frederick Anderson.
I think there was a stat that Brian Boyle played more playoff games than the rest of the team combined. It includes
Matt Martin, Polak, I believe.
Matt Martin and Anderson.
Because Polak went to the finals last season with San Jose.
True. And Brian Boyle's last couple of years with Tampa, that run that the Lightning have been on the last couple of years, is pretty spelt out. But also, credit to the Capitals, especially in the Maple Leaf game. Toronto was coming off a back-to-back with Buffalo. They played Frederick Anderson against the Sabres the night before, knowing that that was the 2 points in their rest of their schedule. They saw their schedule lining up. They had four home games coming up against Washington and Pittsburgh and Columbus and Tampa Bay. They saw the Buffalo games like, all right, let's put our number one in there. Let's put our number one effort out there, and let's make sure this 2 points is locked up. And they hopped on them, I think, three goals in 43 seconds in the first period and pretty much locked that game down. But credit to the Caps jumping on this on a young Maple Leaf team off a back-to-back night and pretty much putting it to them.
Yeah. And then, of course, we played the New York, not we, but the Washington Capitals played
the
New York Rangers. Good game for the Caps. They got the win. You know, these were three important games that the Caps had to win because, one, you clinched the President's Trophy,
right,
which is home ice throughout the entire playoffs, even the finals. But not only that, but you're going up against three playoff teams.
Mm-hmm.
You're going up against Columbus, who you can potentially face in the second round. You have the Toronto Maple Leafs, who you'll most likely now face in the first round, but we'll go over the possibilities and the scenarios in a little bit for that. I have notes.
I almost brought the whiteboard today, but
But then you also have the New York Rangers, who you can now potentially face in the Eastern Conference Finals because they're facing the Montreal Canadiens and will be playing for the Atlantic Division in the playoffs to get to the Conference Finals. And then today at 3 p.m., we actually have the Boston Bruins, who are fighting for – they have clinched their spot. They're now just trying to find where they're going to land with their spot, which actually is all very dependent on the Ottawa Senators and the Toronto Maple Leafs at the same time. And then, of course, we play the Florida Panthers tomorrow, which I don't want to say the words throwaway game, but it's kind of going to be one of those games where, like, we know that Carlson and Brett Connolly aren't playing today. Chorney's going to be in the lineup to get his legs going. Tomorrow, they might rest Carlson again to let Chorney get some more games in, another game in the work, get his legs going. You know, they might, just say, hey, at this game, we're going to, it's Florida, they're out of the playoff picture. Let's kind of rest some guys to get ready for the playoffs.
It's a dangerous game tomorrow night, but it was a blessing in disguise, actually. I mean, you don't want to see any guys get hurt, and John Carlson getting hurt, being day-to-day with a lower body injury, was a blessing in disguise, because we were talking about they got to get Nate Schmidt in the lineup. They got to get Taylor Troy in the lineup just to get their legs going. Nate Schmidt was shot out of a cannon against Maple Leafs on Wednesday night.
And with the Rangers, too.
All over the place. I mean, on Tuesday night in Toronto, Nate Schmidt was probably was the best defenseman on the ice.
And he scored.
It was two straight games with a goal. And of course, you had to remember nine games before when he was last in the lineup when he last scored a goal. But the key in that Maple Leaf game also was the third line, again, was the best line on the ice. The first goal they scored, the cycle play, it looked like the Harlem Globetrotters in the left faceoff dot. All three guys touched the puck. Eller cycled through and got the one-timer short side on McElhinney, making it 1-0. The fourth line, the Winnick lob pass to Tom Wilson, and you saw the skills that made Tom Wilson a first-round pick. The guy can, if he's in a top six position, could pot 20, 30 goals down the road. I mean, remember, he's only 23. And just a silky smooth backhand five hole on McElhinney to seal it to be the final goal the Caps scored that night was a thing of beauty. But going back to your point on Florida,
it's a slippery slope.
You just got to get out healthy. I'd say Brooks, I would be fine with Carlson and Orpik being scratched both games, just getting them fine tuned, ready to go for, I'm assuming, Thursday night. I think the Red Hot Chili Peppers are at Verizon Center on Wednesday night. So
no, Red Hot Chili Peppers are Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, all right.
I know, because Wednesday, I really want to go to that concert because of their opening.
So Wednesday is a possibility still, but also you have that another little monkey wrench with the schedule is the Arena football team has, I think, a home game in a couple weeks on the 22nd. So there's a lot of little pieces where you have to figure out where these playoff dates are going to start flipping in if you're going to have back-to-back games, which is something the NHL tries to avoid in the first two rounds. But with arena schedules and teams having multiple teams, like right here, I mean, the Wizards and the Capitals, first time in team histories where they both won a division in the same year. They're both going to be starting at home this week. So it's going to be interesting how the both leagues manage the schedules of these teams so they aren't being penalized for their tremendous seasons.
Right. Now, we're actually going to hop into NHL news and notes real quick because obviously we want to focus more on the playoff picture as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to jump in the news and notes and have a little history bit too. On the second, Nashville, despite losing earlier in the day, the Predators would clinch a 2017 Stanley Cup spot when the Los Angeles Kings lost to the Arizona Coyotes. LA's loss also eliminated them from playoff contention. This gave Nashville the final spot in the Western Conference. Then on the third, the three stars of the week were announced. The first star was Artemi Panarin of Chicago. Second star was Marcus Johansson of the Caps. And the third star was Cam Talbot of the Edmonton Oilers. Also on that day, Dalton Prout was suspended 2 games for interference on Radko Gudas of the Philadelphia Flyers. And Montreal clinched first place in the Atlantic Division with their victory over the Florida Panthers. On the fourth, Zach Parise wore his late father's North Stars helmet and gloves on their throwback night in Minnesota. Zach Parise's father, JP, passed away due to, I believe, cancer a season ago. And then Boston clinched their playoff berth that day for the first time since 2014 after defeating Tampa Bay.
That had a very interesting incident in that one.
Yeah, and then Brian Bickle played his first NHL game since being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis on November 10th. So he played in the game in Minnesota for the Carolina Hurricanes, and he got to play at home for the first time on Thursday. Ottawa's Clark MacArthur played his first game since October 14, 2015 due to post-concussion syndrome.
That night was very emotional.
I think between Zach Parise.
Parise wearing his late Minnesota North Stars father's jersey. Brian Bickle playing in Minnesota, where remember Josh Harding, also a goaltender of the Minnesota Wild, dealt with similar diagnosed with MS as well. So he's been leaning on him a lot, and he was very emotional after the home game they played the other night in Carolina. But Clark MacArthur, 564 days, early October of 2015 was the last time he played a game.
October 14th.
And it was insane that the emotions running through him and his wife, and to be able to, I mean, they named him the number three star, just being on that ice. And he can give them anything in the playoffs. He's a 30-goal guy. He's a guy that can put the puck in the net. I mean, you worry about it. I mean, it's a contact sport, and one hit can take you out, especially a guy like Clark MacArthur dealing with the post-concussion syndrome for a good part of 2 years.
Yeah.
It's a very emotional to see something like that come to pass, and just shows once again how great the hockey community is, where you saw tweets and text and stuff from all over the league wishing these guys well.
And then, of course, you have Chris Letang, defenseman of the Pittsburgh Penguins. He is going to miss the entirety of the Stanley Cup playoffs because of a herniated disc in his neck that will require surgery. Letang will need 4 to 6 months to recover. On the 6th, Kyle Okposo, forward of the Buffalo Sabres, has been hospitalized with an undisclosed neurological illness. Okposo has not played since March 27th due to the illness. Also, Brad Marchand, forward of the Boston Bruins, has been suspended for 2 games without pay for spearing Tampa Bay defenseman Jack Dotchin in Boston on the 4th. Marchand was assessed a major penalty in a game misconduct. Marchand is a repeat offender. Interesting note, Dotchin in the game against Toronto the other night threw a knee on Austin Matthews, and he's getting away with that.
Well, it was one of those plays where Matthews tried to sidestep last minute, and a lot of times people don't understand is you're a 6'2", 6'3", guy, you're skating one direction. It's not easy to stop abruptly if you're skating a
But if you watch the replays, though, Dotchin does put out the knee.
I think the Giordano hit in Anaheim the night before was more egregious than that one.
But then also Ottawa clinched a 2017 Stanley Cup playoff berth in what many considered a first-round preview against Boston. And then on the 7th, Anaheim forward Nick Ritchie has been suspended 2 games without pay for roughing Michael Roosevelt on 4-6 in Anaheim. Ritchie missed the final regular season game and the first playoff game for the Ducks for his sucker punch on Michael Roosevelt.
Yeah, that one was a nice left hook that he landed. Roosevelt got away with a cross check behind the net, and Nick Ritchie kind of took the enforcer bit a little too far that time.
Yeah, and then we're also going to do a little bit of NHL history real quick, and then we're going to go to the break and go into a massive playoff look. On April 5th, 1919, the death of Montreal Canadiens star Joe Hall during an influenza epidemic brings an end to the Stanley Cup Finals between Montreal and the Seattle Metropolitans of the Pacific Coast Hockey Association. The best-of-five series ends 2-2, and the Cup is not awarded, making it the first time in its history to not be awarded, the second time being the year-long lockout of the NHL which was 2003-2004.
It's crazy, 1919. That's the league was a fledgling 3 years old at that point. We're celebrating year number 100 this year.
Yeah, and then it's the Stanley Cup's 125th anniversary as well. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back from the break. We got a massive push on the playoff picture, the show to talk about. We have so many scenarios, so we'll be back.
Do you love going to the conventions? Then listen to The Experience. Join host Michael Lindenbaum as he travels to conventions and talks to artists, writers, and celebrity guests, plus so much more. For more information, please visit facebook.com/x75productions. Attention film lovers, X75 Productions presents to you its debut film, Cosplay Life. Cosplay Life is about Wes and Julie, who meet at a speed dating event, then start dating. After Julie reveals to Wes that she is a cosplayer, they both go through the twists and turns that come at them from both friends and family. For more information and to watch Cosplay Life, visit facebook.com/cosplaylifefilm.
Welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans, and as always, we want to thank the bands Crimson Orchard and Eyeshine for allowing us to use their music on the show. Thank you so much, guys. It does mean a lot for us. It actually gives a little bit more like legitimacy to us that we have this music coming in and out of commercial breaks.
Very true.
Very true. So, playoff talk now.
Ooh, the most wonderful time of the year that isn't Christmas.
Now,
Stanley Cup playoffs.
Now, we have two confirmed series that will be happening in the first round, both of which are in the East, and we have three other teams who have confirmed spots just waiting for opponents, which will most likely happen today after we get off the air. Obviously, the Washington Capitals is number one in the Metropolitan President's Trophy winners. Chicago is number one in the Western Conference and in the Central Division. Minnesota is number two in the Central Division as well. In the Metro, your confirmed series is going to be the number two Pittsburgh Penguins versus the number three Columbus Blue Jackets. And in the Atlantic Division, you're going to have the number one Montreal Canadiens versus the first wild card team, the New York Rangers. Obviously, the other Atlantic Division series will be determined probably today, depending on how Ottawa and Boston do in their games today, and Toronto as well. Just to put this in perspective, for Ottawa to get the 2 seed in the Atlantic Division, they just need 2 points in their last 2 games today or tomorrow. So just 2 points, that's it, and then it's locked. And then for Toronto, Toronto can clinch their spot with a regulation win tonight, because Toronto has 2 games left, Boston only has 1, and that's the magic number right there for Toronto. And Toronto also only needs 95 points, because that will bump out Tampa Bay, who played last night, who has 92 points, and the New York Islanders, who have 2 games left. The max that those two teams can get is 94 points. And then in the West, well, the West is more of a mess.
You got the 8 teams, you just don't know who's playing who. You know that Chicago and Minnesota are the 1 and the 2 seeds in the Central. That's locked, stock, and barrel.
Yeah.
Technically, Edmonton can still win the Pacific.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes and no. It's interesting that you bring that up. Anaheim only needs
a point.
1 point to clinch the Pacific. Anaheim has one game left. Edmonton has two. Edmonton has a home and road against Vancouver today and tomorrow. Now, Edmonton only needs 1 point to clinch P2 if Anaheim clinches the Pacific. But if Anaheim gets if Anaheim gets no points at all, they lose in regulation, and Edmonton gets a win in both of their games in regulation, or it doesn't matter how they win, regulation, overtime, or shootout, Edmonton then will take the Pacific Division. So it's very interesting. You don't know who could be facing who. We could be having a battle of, looking at it, San Jose can only get a max of 99 points because they have one game left. Calgary only has one game left, and so does Nashville, and the both max that they can get are 96 points. So you could pretty much say Calgary and Nashville are your two wildcard teams no matter what. And it looks like it will probably be Calgary versus the number one seed in the Pacific and Nashville versus Chicago. I think that's the safest bet to say for that, but at the same time, if Calgary loses and Nashville wins, then obviously you flip that.
You got all that? Good. But yeah, I mean, pretty much what you said is correct. I mean, you could have any one of the matchups in that Pacific Division is still in play.
But then the other thing is that St. Louis, they have two games left. All they need is two points in their last two games to clinch the third spot in the Central. So at the same time, Nashville can bump into the third spot in the Central.
Yeah, I mean, St. Louis is playing too well. I don't see them not clinching that three.
But St. Louis also has the game in hand, and that's always an important thing right now. Because every team is at either 80 or 81 games played.
But you also got to think, Michael, is a lot of these teams that have the two games in hand, you do the math, boys and girls. There's only 2 days left.
Yeah.
They're playing back-to-back nights, so it's not going to be a picnic, and a lot of these teams are probably going to split the goaltending duties because they don't want to like we said, 15 to 16 spots are clinched. You're in the dance. I mean, granted, you want better seating or better positioning or better matchup, but at the same time, you want your number one goalie to get one of the games, but you also want your backup goalie to get the other game just so they're ready for the playoffs. God forbid something happens to your number one, a.k.a. a couple years ago with Carey Price in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Rangers. That would be a doozy.
And the furthest out there, tonight, don't be surprised if it – or today, this afternoon, don't be surprised if it's Braden Holtby for the Capitals against Boston and Philip Grubauer tomorrow against the Florida Panthers.
I was thinking it was going to be the other way around just because you get Braden Holtby the home game in a game you don't have to worry about too much against Florida, nothing to lose and all that. But either way, you can go either way. I mean, they're going to get ample rest, ready to go. I mean, you could put Holtby in today against Boston and put that little nugget into Boston's head just in case things.
Well, that's why I would put Holtby in today because you might. Who knows? I mean, it's still unknown who the Caps can be facing. Like we were talking about before the break. Right now, it looks like it's Toronto. But it could still be Boston, it could still be Tampa Bay, and it could still be the Islanders. Yeah. All depending. You know, if Toronto just wins tonight in regulation, you know, obviously we don't have to worry about Tampa Bay or the Islanders anymore because they're out. Because the max they can get are 94 points. The max that, you know, Toronto just needs to clinch is 95.
I mean, a simple thing is Toronto is playing Pittsburgh and Columbus, two teams that know their destiny is the bloodbath 2-3 metropolitan matchup we've been speaking about for weeks. Toronto they went out, and the Caps take care of Boston today. I hope he's in their head already. Game one, Boston has to come to D.C. knowing that, we have to play this team again in the playoffs. We know the last time they played in the playoffs, Braden Holtby was in their heads. He outdueled Tim Thomas coming off of a Stanley Cup championship.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, like, I wrote down the games of note for today, the games that everyone should be watching today.
Just watch NHL Network all day.
Yeah. And, you know, at 12:30 p.m., 30 minutes after we get off the air, you have the New York Islanders at the Ottawa Senators. Obviously, the Ottawa Senators, they need 2 points in their last two games to get the second spot in the Atlantic. This is an important game to watch. Because not only that, but this could also be a second-round matchup in the playoffs between the Rangers and the Ottawa Senators, depending on how things go down between Montreal and the Rangers and whoever Ottawa faces in that first round. So, and then, of course, your second game, you know, then, of course, we have three 7 p.m. games. You have Pittsburgh versus Toronto in Toronto for Hockey Night in Canada. You have St. Louis and Carolina. And you have Nashville and Winnipeg. Obviously, these are teams that are trying to set their position and where they're going to land. And then, of course, you also have, as I mentioned, the back-to-back between Edmonton and Vancouver tonight and tomorrow. And you have Calgary, San Jose, which Calgary and San Jose, this is the only game today where both teams are trying to get a playoff spot locked up, and they're playing each other. So
yeah, especially with Calgary trying. I think it's bigger for Calgary, even though San Jose could use that and hope for some help on Edmonton's half to maybe get that home ice advantage in that first round matchup. But I think it's more important for Calgary. You've seen it's been 25 games since they've beaten Anaheim in the pond, and they haven't had too much success in San Jose either. They've had more success against San Jose and San Jose, but to establish that you can win in California, because you're going to have to beat one of those California teams in a series to get out of that division.
All right. And then, of course, for tomorrow, the last day of the regular season, at 5 p.m., you have Buffalo at Tampa Bay. And, of course, this game could become irrelevant if Toronto wins in regulation today against Pittsburgh. And then also tomorrow, 5 p.m., Ottawa versus the New York Islanders. Now, like I mentioned, if Toronto wins, it's irrelevant for the Islanders, but it's still relevant for the Ottawa Senators. And then at 6 p.m., it'll be Columbus versus Toronto. Now, if Toronto, let's see here. If Toronto loses tonight but beats Columbus tomorrow, you know, those first two games we mentioned will matter, but it all comes down to still to Toronto. They have to win two games.
Toronto needs to win. For Toronto, they need to win tonight.
Yeah.
Because all that pressure and all that lovely media, you think it's a pressure cooker in D.C. about the Caps and the Redskins. You think it's a pressure cooker in New York when it comes to the Yankees and the Rangers and the and Knicks and all that. Toronto and Montreal are the 212 boiling point is passed a long time ago, especially if Toronto loses tonight, and that Toronto media, all those young kids have not experienced pressure like they are going to feel tomorrow night if they do lose to Pittsburgh tonight.
And then, of course, yesterday, the last three games of importance will be Colorado at St. Louis, although I just kind of see St. Louis just wiping Colorado across the place, because
Colorado's been
playing like better, but like they'll get like three goals a game, but the problem is that the other team will still get like 5 to 6 goals on them.
No, they came back from 3-0 against the Blackhawks the other night and beat them. I mean, you're going to see a skeleton team, especially St. Louis beats Carolina tonight. You're going to see a skeleton. You're going to see a team in St. Louis is just going to try to get through it with Carter Hutton in goal and to make just get everything prepared for Minnesota, providing they win tonight.
And then, of course, you have L.A. at Anaheim. Big implications, obviously, for Anaheim. And then Vancouver at Edmonton on the second game of that back-to-back for those two. Obviously more important for the Edmonton Oilers than the Vancouver Canucks. Now, with the two series that we have in play. We're going to start with Montreal-New York Rangers.
Bring your popcorn for both of those.
Yeah. Montreal versus New York Rangers. Now, first thing I've heard a lot of people say is they've been complaining about the fact that it's like, oh, the way the playoff format is, we don't like it, blah, blah, blah. You know, but actually, interestingly, on Hockey Central the other day, they actually came out and said it. If you actually look at how the standings would be legitimately, you would be having New York Rangers with the Montreal Canadiens no matter what, even if we were in the 1-8 format.
Right.
And so the way people should look at this is that you have a 101-point team in Montreal versus a 100-point team in New York Rangers.
Plus, with the old format, everyone talks about the 1-8. Granted, you'd still have Washington and Montreal would be your 1 and 2 seeds, since you only have 2 divisions instead of the 3 division winners. But you'd have Pittsburgh as a 3 seed. You'd still have Columbus and the Rangers in the first round. So you'd still have a really intense first round matchup. You got to win 16 games. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Little Sisters of Poor or the 1970s version of the Montreal Canadiens. You have to win 4 series. 4 games in each series, 16 games to lift this holy grail. It doesn't matter who you play. I mean, when the Caps made the Cup in 98, the number 1, 2, and 3 seeds got wiped out in the first round, and the Caps had a very hard-fought six-game series against the Boston Bruins to get on to the next round. You don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs. Anything can happen. That little black biscuit, that little puck, is an amazing thing come playoff time, especially when it starts bouncing around goalies' creases late in games.
Yeah, and then, of course, your second series is the Pittsburgh Penguins versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, this is a rematch. Now, the interesting thing is that both of these series are rematches from 2014. The Rangers and the Canadiens from the Eastern Conference Finals, and for Pittsburgh-Columbus, a first-round matchup between the two, which ironically, Pittsburgh and New York both won their series in six games. Now, Pittsburgh loses Letang, 4 to 6 months, neck surgery for the herniated disc. I've always viewed Chris Letang, yes, he's their number one defenseman, but at the same time, Mike Green for a while was our number one defenseman, and they're both almost similar players. Letang may be slightly better than Mike Green.
Offensively, yes. Letang's better defensively, and the thing that Letang excels at, and he's not one of my favorites on my list. He's one of those ones that I can't stand, but taking the Capitals' rose-colored glasses off, he is one of the best at getting the puck out of his own end, and you saw that in the Capitals series last year. When the puck was on Letang's stick, it was quickly up to the forwards. Do you want to know why the HPK line was so prominent in the playoffs? Is because guys like Chris Letang and Trevor Daley, until Daley went down with a knee injury, was getting that puck to them quickly. And that's the key for the Capitals this year with Niskanen and Orloff and Carlson and the rest and Shattenkirk, is getting the puck out to the forwards to make them what they are, and that's creative and talented, and getting the puck in the other team's net. But real quick, I want to touch the history. Both those series, there's going to be some serious bad blood. I touched on it briefly. Chris Kreider going into Carey Price completely turned that series into the Rangers' favor a couple years ago
yep.
in the Eastern Conference Final. Dustin Tokarski played great, but you have the King versus Carey Price. That's a goaltender matchup that's going to headline any marquee. And then what the Pittsburgh-Columbus series is all about, you mentioned Letang going out. They are going to get Malkin back. They got Daley back the other night. They're getting somewhat healthy. Justin Schultz is a huge factor on their power play. He's going to have to take that Chris Letang role. But the big key, and especially since Pittsburgh got the home ice, Brandon Dubinsky is going to be shadowing Sidney Crosby, especially when the tide turns and the game's in Columbus where Tortorella can get that last change.
Yeah, I think the big thing with with Columbus, and not only that, but the other thing is that people need to remember, too, is that, like, yes, you know, the Kreider thing should have been a penalty because you shouldn't be running the goaltenders at all, period. But the interesting thing going into this Pittsburgh-Columbus series is that Pittsburgh has had some changes. That is a very...
Someone broke my cup. I couldn't believe it.
But for Pittsburgh, they pretty much have the same team, you know, that was there years ago. I mean, obviously, you now have Phil Kessel. That's like a big change for it. And Hornquist is a big change. But for the... That car horn is so annoying.
Don't worry, in 26 seconds it'll be off, and then that car will be in a ravine somewhere later this afternoon. But, oh, my goodness. There's a long story there. Maybe we'll touch on that in the off season if I still have the car, but continue.
But for Columbus, this is a 100% completely different team from what the Pittsburgh Penguins faced.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but it's a different coach. It's a different system. You know, it's a more healthier team. It's a more experienced team. You know, Brandon Saad's on the team. He's got multiple Stanley Cups on that team. Dubinsky's been to the finals before. So this is a much different team that Pittsburgh's going to face, and I could see that causing a lot of problems for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
One huge key, and also developing the guys that they brought up from the Monsters, the Cleveland, Lake Erie Monsters, Cleveland Monsters that won the Calder Cup last year. The health of Zach Werenski is paramount because Alex Ovechkin drilled him just right in the boards on Sunday night in that Sunday night game, and he's been out, and he's out for the rest of the regular season, and there's doubt on whether he's going to be able to start the playoffs, and he's been a critical part of that team's ascension to where they're at this year. With that, if they are missing him at all in the playoffs, Columbus is going to be fighting an uphill battle, no matter how healthy they are most of the ways. And like we've said week after week after week, they're one Sergei Bobrovsky groin pull away from being swept.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, I mean, there's not much more we can talk about playoff wise.
Chicago's got the Chicago's going to be the Western Conference home ice advantage. So, yeah. Anyone wants to win the Western side of the bracket, you got to go through the madhouse on Madison Part Two.
Well, actually, interesting. Looking at it, the last few seasons, Chicago has not been in the number one spot. So this is their first time back in that number one spot in the West in a while.
And that's just a credit to Joel Quenneville, Kevin Dineen, Stan Bowman, just developing the young guys that they've developed this year. The the Schmaltzes have come up and played critical roles. Richard Panik has shown what he showed in his first year or two at Tampa Bay. He's a 20-goals guy. I mean, you have those key ingredients, the Tays, the Canes, the Keese, the Seabrooks. It was weird watching that Anaheim game the other night, and Seabrook, Keith, and Chalmerson were all scratched. I'm like, that is nightmare proposal for the Blackhawks if that ever happened in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, and getting Oduya back and making that defense as complete as it has been in any of their cup runs since the first cup run is going to be a thing to watch, especially out west.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to go to the break. And when we come back, we're going to talk AHL playoff picture, the the Women's World Championships, which ended last night.
Oh, what a night.
And I'm going to go on a rant with facts. And that'll be right after the break.
Do you love gaming? Then join Michael Lindbaum and friends at X75 Unsanctioned on Twitch. Watch and interact with Michael and friends as they play games like NHL, WWE, Star Wars, and many other games. For more information and to watch live, visit twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. Attention MCW Pro Wrestling fans, are you looking for the latest from MCW Pro Wrestling? Then you want to listen to The Experience, the official podcast of MCW Pro Wrestling. Join host Michael Lindbaum as he previews and reviews all of MCW Pro Wrestling's events, along with interviews with the stars of MCW Pro Wrestling. For more information, please visit facebook.com/X75Productions.
From the start, we can't fall apart, 'cause this is our shot to play with all of our heart. And no one else cares, alone we must dare, to give what we've got and leave nothing to spare. Leave nothing to spare. We finally know that this is our goal, to somehow end up on the red. Tonight they're gonna know our name. I say, let's play like the world is in our hands today. Let's play our way.
And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for serious hockey fans. And, Bernie, if it's okay by you, can I please go on my rant first?
Yeah, first of all, I'm going to put the cup away. It's going to be a featured guest the next several weeks, and I want to make sure I got glue to top of it. Someone broke it.
Yeah, while we're not talking about playoffs, we might as well put the trophy away. this week, a major announcement was made by the NHL, which was that they are not going to shut down the season for 3 weeks, or shut down the league for 3 weeks, for the Olympics, which makes me very happy. Now, an article came out on NHL.com by columnist Nicholas J. Katsunika, and his article is about history shows the games don't help the league, which is factually based. Now, the league has participated in the Olympics 5 times and has never seen any objective evidence of a positive impact on the business or sport. In many ways, it has seen a negative impact. And these are all excerpts from his article. When it comes to Olympic participation, the cost-benefit equation changes every 4 years. Nagano was not a boon for the league or for hockey in general. The 2006 Torino and 2014 Sochi Olympics weren't boons as well. The 2002 at Salt Lake City and 2010 Vancouver Olympics were better, each culminating in a gold medal game between Canada and the United States on North American ice. That's the key thing right there, North American ice. But weren't boons either. So the question has to be asked. So would the 2018 Pyeongchang Olympics be a boon considering the South Korean market and the time difference for North American TV viewers, which is like 13 hours? If they would be, don't you think the NHL would go? Hockey, and then I highlighted pretty much the last like 50 paragraphs. So I wonder, no, because here's the thing. It brings up very solid points. This article. Hockey is not much different from, say, skiing or swimming. Diehard fans, like us, love the sport the way they love it all the time. Casual fans get into it for a couple of weeks and then forget about it the week afterward. Like, did you follow Michael Phelps during the Summer Olympics?
Yes.
Do you follow his sport in between?
Not much.
Exactly. That's the point right there. That's the biggest point right there that is brought up. A lot of these places, like South Korea, yeah, they're building up their hockey stuff. China's building up their hockey stuff. But it's not a boon for it.
Now, well, to stop you real quick on that, and even in places like Russia and Italy, who are big Winter Olympic type of towns, half the buildings that they've built for just the Olympics are either it's scheduled to be torn down or not even used anymore. I mean, it's insane that that's why people aren't bidding on the Olympics so freely anymore, because it's pretty much a black hole when it comes to your budget.
Yeah. Now this is the biggest point that I love the most. The NHL has been shutting down its season in February, a time of year when it is not competing with football or baseball and lending its players to someone else's tournament. In December, the NHL polled fans in Canada and the United States to ask if they favor a 17-day break in the schedule for the Olympics. In Canada, 53% of avid fans were against it, even though Canada would be defending the gold medal this upcoming Olympics. In the United States, 73% were against it. 73% and 53% from the two biggest countries for the sport are against the Olympic break. That is a key statistic right there. All NHL players experience increased risk of injury during an Olympic year because of the compressed schedule that accompanies participation. That risk grows for the players who take part in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Ask John Tavares, which I'm actually about to get to. Mm-hmm. 4 NHL players sustained season-ending injuries in Sochi. The New York Islanders captain John Tavares, Detroit Red Wings captain Henrik Zetterberg, and Florida Panthers forwards Alexander Barkov and Thomas Kopecky. Zetterberg returned for 2 games in the Stanley Cup playoffs as the Red Wings lost to the Boston Bruins in 5 games in the Eastern Conference final round. Now, at least 3 others missed NHL games because of injuries sustained in Sochi. Penguins defenseman Paul Martin missed 18 games. Columbus Blue Jackets defenseman Fedor Tuitin missed 8. And New York Rangers forward Matt Zuccarello missed 4. While the IOC has reaped rewards for NHL participation, the NHL has not seen increases in ratings or sales, period. The NHL has been allowed to capture its Olympic moments in words only, not in video or images. No highlights of Sidney Crosby's golden goal for Canada against the United States in Vancouver. No highlights of TJ Oshie's shootout heroics in the United States against Russia in Sochi. You name it, the NHL has not been able to show it. How does that help promote the league or grow the game? Because that's the key thing right there. They're not allowed to use it. NBC and the Olympics get to use it, but the NHL can't. And when the NHL's on NBC, they can't even use it then. How does that help?
It doesn't.
Exactly. You know, and that's the key thing that needs to get put through the players' heads. Just because you're going doesn't mean you're helping the league. You're hurting the league more than anything. Deciding not to go to Pyeongchang does not mean the NHL is not trying to grow the game, promote the league, or provide great experiences for fans and players. It's quite the opposite. The NHL did it without the Olympics for 80 years and will do so again. NHL players began participating in the best-on-best international competition in the 1972 Summit Series. The league continued with the 1976, 81, 84, 87, and 91 Canada Cup tournaments and the World Cup of Hockey in 96 and 2004. And together with the NHLPA, the league revived the tradition of the World Cup of Hockey in 2016. The Vancouver Canucks and the Los Angeles Kings will play preseason games in Shanghai on September 21st and in Beijing on September 23rd in the 2017 NHL China Games. The Colorado Avalanche and the Ottawa Senators will play regular season games in Stockholm, Sweden on November 10th and 11th in the 2017 SAP NHL Global Series. These events are part of a larger international plan, and we'll see if something changes regarding NHL participation in the 2022 Beijing Olympics. The NHL isn't going to the 2018 games, but it will continue to bring the game to the people around the world. And here's the thing. They're doing the China games. They're doing the games in Stockholm. Guess what? The NHL can use that. They can't use the Olympic footage. And that's why it's been hurting the league. You're shutting down for 3 weeks when you're not competing with the two biggest leagues in the United States, in North America. You're shutting down when you don't have to compete with them, and you're hurting yourself. You're shooting yourself in the foot. I get Ovechkin wants to go, and I get that other guys want to go, but you shouldn't, period. And we're not going to get into the politics of what, you know, Ovechkin said, you know, saying that he's going to go anyways, because that's a topic for another day, because obviously we're going to also wait and see what the NHL decides to what they want to do in regards to players trying to leave, and especially, sorry guys, but you shouldn't be using this as leverage to get out of your CBA agreement either.
It's a very sticky wicket. It's a very ugly wicket, per se, and you hit nail on the head. And I was watching NHL Network a lot last week, and they had a big roundtable on it with some very good hockey minds, and they hit the nail on the head that you just hit. They can't use this footage. It's like NBC, the Olympic, IOC, and IIHF has like a monopoly on the footage of the Olympics. And until it's played, even the major networks that have the right to show highlights of various events can't show it until the actual event has happened, or even later than that. It's a sad state of affairs that you can't partner with the NHL Network and be able to market this Olympics to a bigger audience, to be able to show the highlights, to show the fanfare, to show what the Olympic movement's all about. If they're really hell-bent on doing the Olympics and it's very far-fetched and very out there and it would never happen, then put the hockey in the summer games when the NHL is off. If you're really that hell-bent on having the NHL players and having the best players in the world, have it in the summer games like the NBA has it. I mean, it's very unlogistical, but if you want the best, that's the easiest way to have the best show up for you.
And then, of course, obviously, real quick, I want to thank Nicholas J. Katsonika, NHL.com columnist, for writing this article. It is a great article, and if anybody wants it, I will be sharing it on the Experience Hockey Talk Facebook page later today, so everyone can have that, because I actually saved it in my email, so that way, if anything, I could put it up on the website, on the Facebook page.
The one interesting thing, Michael, I was thinking about it, is if they have some of the guys that are threatening to go still, it's a perfect time to put the bye weeks in that area, so if some players are going, if they don't legislate it by telling them they can't go or put some sort of a bar on guys going over there somehow, if they do keep it open-ended owner by owner, they could put the bye weeks in that situation, in that area, put the All-Star game in that area, and since they are moving ahead with the schedule, Ted Leonsis, I'm just putting it out there, I'd love to have an All-Star game in 2018 in Chinatown. I mean, it'd be a way you might be able to keep Alex Ovechkin in on this side of the pond instead of going over to Pyeongchang.
Yeah, and not only that, but real quick, Christopher Vasilis, a.k.a. Shaggy from my Twitch stream, X75 Unsanctioned. Yes, I do agree. I hope it doesn't lead to another lockout as well. But if the players are truly hell-bent on this, which really it's only like 200 guys out of the entire league, maybe less than that,
right.
Then, yeah, we're going to have some problems, which I hope we don't have that. So,
hey guys, please, I mean, feel free, any comments you have, we'll try to get to them on the show, on the Experience Hockey Talk Facebook page, put them on there. Eventually we're going to start taking some phone calls, so we are looking forward to hearing from people, talk some hockey, especially when it comes playoff time. It's going to be crazy good. Thanks to our good friends over at Nova Caps again. I mean, George it was a great interview with George last week. Definitely appreciate it, and hopefully we get a nice little budding partnership with that great site.
Actually, I was just talking to Nova Caps yesterday, and you know they're definitely going to be coming back, and sooner rather than later we'll probably be on their stuff too. So definitely Nova Caps for us. We do the radio. Nova Caps does the articles.
Yeah,
I think that's a great friendship that we have there.
John Sorensen and George and Julie. A lot of really good articles. They all have their little niches. Like George was touching, so like he has his What the Foose, and John goes into a lot of the cap stuff, and Julie has a great article that touches base on the AHL every week. So, and you even have stuff on the South Carolina Stingrays. So you pretty much have a grasp of not just the Capitals, but the entire the spectrum of the whole organization.
And talking about Nova Caps, that's a great segue into the AHL.
AHL playoffs. I almost put the Hershey Bears in the death row column after their dismal three-game losing streak last weekend. They lost every game last weekend, pretty much was on life support, but a huge overtime win in Lehigh Valley on Wednesday night has sprung some hope again in Chocolate Town, but they are a little behind the eight ball still, since they're the only team with three games left on their schedule. Right now, Wilkes-Barre is pretty much solidly in as the number one seed in the Atlantic Division. Providence Bruins have five games left. They play at Bridgeport, they play Wilkes-Barre, they play at Lehigh Valley, and they play at Hershey on the final game of the season next Sunday. They're at 93 points, Lehigh Valley's at 93 points, Hershey's at 91 points, and Bridgeport's at 90. The key, like I just mentioned, Bridgeport has four games left, Lehigh Valley has four games left, Providence has five games left. The Bears only have three left. It's paramount that the Bears take care of this business on the road at Toronto today, at Wilkes-Barre next Friday, and then the huge one, make that game at Giant Center against the Providence Bruins means something. It's huge, especially with the growth of the young guys, and it showed even more with some of the awards that were handed out this week. Christian Jews was named Player of the Month in March for the AHL. You want to talk about a guy that has a little Toby Enstrom in him? Is going to be a nice fixture on the Caps blue lines for years to come. And then Travis Boyd, who we got a little taste of, I think, for a game or two this year, University of Minnesota product, second team all-star, playing with Chris Bork a lot this year, especially on the power play, has transcended his game to much more than just a two-way center. So a lot of trying times for the Bears, but hopefully things work out, because I want to see the Bears getting some playoff action so these young guys can see the ice time while the big team's going through the playoffs. But last night, oh, what a night. No pun intended, but in Plymouth, Michigan.
But before we go to that, I want one more AHL point. Mm-hmm. Cunningham. Craig Cunningham,
yes.
Got awarded an award for his perseverance in the AHL after having, I believe it was a stroke.
Yes, on the ice. It was, in the pregame warm-ups, I think it was.
And yeah,
it was
earlier this season.
A very scary situation. We touched about the Brian Bickle and the Clark MacArthur, and even now the Kyle Okposo. Our thoughts and prayers go to the Okposo family and the whole Buffalo Sabres organization, that hopefully, it sounds like he's starting to come around. Being in ICU in the neurotherapy section of the ICU, that's no joke.
No,
that's
it's not.
Nothing. That's nothing to take lightly. So hopefully Kyle has a full recovery and is out there with that blue and gold next year in Buffalo.
Yeah. Now you may. I want to bring up Craig Cunningham because that was a big story.
Very much so. Yeah. I appreciate you doing that. But oh, what a night. No pun intended in Plymouth, Michigan last night. Team USA women's. If you get a chance to see the Team USA and Team Canada play in women's hockey, take 2.5 hours out of your schedule and watch it. It's better than the men.
It's better than the men.
And that overtime, right before Hillary Knight scored the OT game winner, which was a beautiful play, it started from her blocking a shot, getting up the Kendall coin, and then getting the puck back and hit it short side, top shelf for the game winner, almost like John Carlson several years ago for Team USA in the World Juniors. Similar type of goal. But
how he got his nickname, Captain America.
Yeah,
and I guess he could do that for Hillary Knight now, too.
She's Captain Marvel. But the play, the 2 minutes before that goal was scored, you want to talk about hemming a team in the zone. Team USA was practically skating circles around Team Canada, and you could tell when a team's gassed, they're just reaching after pucks, and they're barely skating. And if it wasn't for Sabatos in the net for Canada, they wouldn't have had a prayer.
And the other thing, interesting thing is that, like, the day before in the semifinals, USA destroyed Germany, which I'm wearing my Ole Kolzik World jersey, which has the German flag on it. You know, they destroyed Germany 11-0.
They were the feel-good story until they got to the medal round. Then they lost 11-0, and then they lost to Finland 8-0 in the bronze medal game. So Germany has a lot to draw on from their women's performance in this year's World Championships, but the medal round shows that they still have a little bit of work to do.
Yeah. Just a little bit when it comes to the big 3 to 4 teams, which is why they have a four nations, which is just Finland, or like Russia, U.S., you know, Sweden, and Canada.
Yep. So. And then you have that one upstart, whether it's a Japan, whether it's a this time Germany or whatever. But put you on the spot, Mike. Who are we talking about playing our Washington Capitals next week on the experience?
If things stay the way they are, I'm going to say Toronto.
I think that's probably the odds on money favorite there. So definitely looking forward to seeing how everything irons out this last 2 days. Because
watch, just pay attention. Okay, normally I go to you first, but pay attention to the Experience Hockey Talk Facebook page and Twitter. It's more so the Twitter, because I do a lot more on the Twitter than I do on the Facebook page. So it's Facebook, is facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. I've been posting on the Facebook Live with it, so Experience has no E at the beginning. It's an X at the beginning of Experience. And then on Twitter, it's @ExperienceHockey. I do a lot more on the Twitter than I do on the Facebook, as I mentioned. We're hoping to fix that a little bit. We'll probably get some more Nova Caps up on the Experience Hockey Talk Facebook page, a little bit more Experience Hockey Talk up on the Nova Caps Facebook page and Twitter as well. But go on there, because during today and tomorrow, we will be posting up a lot of stuff on the Twitter and Facebook, especially that this is the last weekend.
I'll give you a lot of credit for being able to, every week before we come on the show, Michael puts in the hard work to get the links on and making sure that you know where to go for, please, I mean, get the comments out there, the Twitter, the Facebook, everything. I mean, Michael's putting it out there every week before this show. You know when to listen to us, where to see us, where to contact us, and like I said, we're going to be putting phone calls into the mix here shortly, so we definitely appreciate your what you think of this great time of year, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it is upon us, and I'm stoked, and I'm excited, I'm ready for a parade in June.
Social media, Bernie.
You know what? You love it. It's almost coming of it. It is a soon-to-be Twitter account. But
oh, crapper, get off the pot, son.
The Facebook is still alive and kicking. Always private message me with any comments, questions, quips, or concerns about Michael's hat.
Okay. And then, of course, you can always follow me on Twitter @TheLindenBaum75 and on Facebook @Facebook.com/X75Productions. And as always, we want to thank Lionel Green and everyone else here at WBGR Sports Network for having us on their Facebook Live, on their airwaves, and of course, our first ever TXXT Facebook Live. Hi. And on our GoPro, which will go up on the YouTube later. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, we will see you on the ice.
Attention, hockey fans. You want serious hockey talk? Then listen to the Experience Hockey Talk on the WBGR Sports Network. Join hosts Michael Lindebaum and Bernie Diehl as they review the past week for the Washington Capitals, NHL, and NWHL. You can listen to the Experience Hockey Talk at 11 a.m. every Saturday at the WBGRSports.com and on the WBGR Sports Network Facebook page. For more information, visit Facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk.